10:38.
Okay. If our previous track record are accurate, we'll be done at 12:50.
Oh, no. Let's do it.
Not wrong.
Let's just do it.
Okay.
Let us do it.
Adam's been taking notes this whole time. Look at him. He's note-taking even now.
No, I'm trying to decide what the sponsor of tonight's episode is. Mm. Do you guys have any ideas?
Mm.
Coal.
Okay, yeah. No.
Coal.
Are we recording?
Methane gas.
Yeah, we're recording.
Let's get this over with right now, then. Tonight's episode of Everwood Never Wouldn't is brought to you by coal and fossil fuels. They're destroying the world. And that's okay.
It is okay.
It's okay.
Really okay.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay. Coal. It's okay.
That's it. Yeah. Tonight's episode brought to you by Coal. Coal. It's okay.
Oh my god, what? Come on, Adam. There we go. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sing it.
So many styles.
Stephanie Nisnik.
Welcome to Ever Would, Never Wouldn't podcast, where I, Adam Lawver, make my friends
Eric
and KT
watch and discuss with me now the second season of the hit early 2000s WB teen/family drama Ever Would. Tonight's episode, season 2, episode 7, Three Miners from Everwood.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Michael Green, directed by David Petrarca. Original air date, November 3rd, 2003. Official episode description from the DVD booklet. Andy and both Dr. Abbotts rush to the scene of a disaster at Everwood's coal mine. With the nearest ambulances hours away and without sufficient supplies, the three must work miracles in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what an episode of Everwood.
Yes.
Kind of stylistically...
Different.
Different, a departure from what Everwood normally is.
Yeah.
I'm glad, I think...
Less fucking Amy.
Yeah. Sure.
I liked it. It was refreshing. I thought it was fun.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, I remember liking this back in 2003, and I liked it. No, I think it's exciting. I'm sure it was exciting for the creators. 18
years ago.
Oh, stop.
18 years ago. They were talking about how 75 years ago, the whatever, coal was important to Everwood. And I'm like, oh wait, this was 20 years ago now.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
Fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having an existential crisis now.
Cool.
Yeah.
This tonight's episode brought to you by existential crises.
It's okay.
It's no, okay.
Oh God. It's never okay.
No, I think it's fun. I bet the creators of the show were excited and probably a bit nervous about trying to pull off an episode like this. That's more kind of medical emergency, not just medical emergency, mm-hmm. but like a life-threatening
mm-hmm.
kind of catastrophe situation. Where
different
it's like
genre,
high,
almost.
Totally. Yeah. High tension. So it's cool seeing that kind of genre unfold within the kind of the format of Everwood, or within
Agreed.
The world, or the DNA of this show and this town.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it's a pretty straightforward kind of structure. We've got all the main action happening in present day, where there's been an explosion in the mine, which we learned was started out as a silver mine, and then closed down for a while, and then they discovered coal there. And this was like like you said, I think 75 years ago mm-hmm. from fucking 2003, I guess. so we learn all that in the intro from Irv's helpful narration. And we see some characters. We see Beau Bridges.
Yeah, we do.
Don't the Bridges have a brother? Is it Beau that sucks?
Beau and Jeff. Bridges. And
yeah.
Is there another Bridges brother?
I don't know, but isn't Beau like a Trump supporter?
No, Beau Bridges.
Are you sure?
Is he dope?
That's Beau Bridges politics.
Beau Bridges, close friends with Chris Pratt. Oh, shit.
Bridges is a Christian.
Ugh! Adam, good job making your bed today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was the first time in a while.
It looks good.
He has stated that if the script calls for his character to say God's name in vain, he will ask the director if he can change the line. Beau. Well, I think Beau Bridges is probably...
You're thinking of Beau Burnham. Dude.
Yeah, Beau Burnham's notorious.
He's very problematic.
Trump supporter.
Uh-huh.
Who?
Beau Burnham. Different yeah. Beau.
Definitely. They're not spelled the same.
So we see Beau Bridges. We see James Earl Jones, who is the Star Wars actor that I hinted at last 2 weeks.
Didn't figure it out.
Because he's a voice actor. Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, that was sneaky.
It was super sneaky.
But I was, it's very cool that in season two, everyone, I think, started pulling some big, much
yeah,
bigger names.
Did. That's crazy.
Of guest stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot so far.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them.
Kind of. No, like.
It's distracting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. It's like, I am just watching actors and stuff.
Back in 2003, yeah. Beau Bridges and James Earl Jones
weren't
as well known.
It's fine. James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones
is big.
So
and
well
was
known.
He's less big
but
now.
You know, the funny thing is you're saying that, and like for me, I think I almost always watch this show in that mindset though of like it's a WB show from 2003. Like that's what they did back then on TV. I'm sure they still do. I just never watch TV anymore, like regular TV, like sitcoms. But like
stunt casting,
network,
like having
like
a guest,
Bruce Willis and Friends.
Yes,
it was,
like,
that was a big
thing
deal.
They did yeah. And like I mean, they even fucking did it in Game of Thrones with stupid Ed Sheeran or whatever. But like, but I'm saying like I don't know if they do it so often anymore. But I know they. It's fucking. Back then, it was like, I remember mm-hmm. the commercials for shows that were like,
yes.
Guess who's on yep. tonight's mm-hmm. program? Elton John's on The mm-hmm. Nanny. I
Pauly
remember
Shore
being excited.
In season 3 of Fargo? That was ridiculous.
Pauly Shore, did you just say?
Was he in season
3? No! No, Adam! Okay. No, he
fuck
wasn't.
You.
Why would you even... think about it.
Because what a cast.
Because you said it.
What a casting choice. I'm curious to see whether Pauly Shore could act in Fargo. Why
not?
I bet he could.
I think he could.
Like, have mm-hmm. you ever seen Pauly Shore in anything serious?
Noah Hawley and Pauly Shore. Noah Pauly Shore.
Oh.
I don't see
it. Squid and the Whale.
What the fuck?
That's Noah Baumbach, you goober.
The arc.
Stop. I don't know. Those things don't usually take me out of watching things just because like I know that they're all actors. I'm not an idiot. So I think it's okay that bigger actors.
My
sure.
star rating
Noah.
Is getting threatened right now, Adam.
Noah.
We also get introduced to a third miner who is a lady miner.
Oh, yeah, shit. Crazy. She had the lunchbox.
Yep.
So she's got to be a miner.
Oh, man, that acting.
She's
got to
hold the lunchbox.
That's, the scene where we meet her and we see that she's married to the weird counselor guy.
From Sex and the City. Scooter.
I think we met him in the season premiere.
He was in the boobs one.
The
boobs was he?
One?
Wasn't he?
What's the
Kristen
one?
Bell's boobs?
I think so.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think he was, who cares? Doesn't really matter.
Not the listeners of this show.
No. What we do know is that they are trying to have a baby, and it's leading to some difficulties in their relationship.
Yeah. They can't because of the coal.
Yeah.
Yes. Her mining is affecting her mine, if you know what I mean. Her like,
Hermione,
is it a
Hermione?
Her mine, like a uterus is kind of like a mine.
Because you go in there to mine stuff out of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Orgasm.
I don't know. I don't get it.
That was amazing.
Shistorius. They don't explore the idea that maybe him being an ineffectual part-time guidance counselor is impacting his sperm count.
That's true.
Because, like, it's
That's very true.
It's gotta.
Yeah. Or is it his lack of, like, effective sperm that makes him a bad guidance counselor?
Oh. Yikes. You think you got... You can't be shooting blanks while you're telling kids how to study for their SATs.
Yeah.
You can't. Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
There's no more essay portion anymore. Check this out, kids.
What is happening?
They took the essay portion out of the SATs. It wasn't there when we took it, and then they added it in, and now it's gone again.
Oh. When
I didn't know that.
I didn't know this either. Is this a news story?
Pretty new.
Wow.
But when this episode came out, there was also no essay portion.
Right. So, like, this fact that you just said is just confusing me, and I don't...
Is it affecting your sperm count?
Yes.
So after the opening titles, we get the three doctors and Edna showing up at the scene of the mine explosion. We learn that there are not any ambulances close by, I guess. They're coming from, like, crazy. Denver or something.
Yeah.
So they're hours away.
Yeah, all the ambulances.
All of them.
All of them are 3 hours away.
70 alarm fire in Denver.
Yeah.
I guess, does Everwood not have its own ambulance? I guess if so, maybe they said, like, that ambulance is gone.
They went to Denver because of the 70 alarm fire.
Oh, I missed that. So there was a fire.
There was an emergency in Denver, which drew all the emergency vehicles away.
That makes sense.
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of.
I still don't have a good sense of how far away Denver is. Okay,
because we've already had, like, a discussion about the size of just the town of Everwood, which we're saying, like, if there's enough business to not run Dr. Abbott out of business and they're the only two doctors, or, like, remember we had a whole situation. So we're saying that all ambulances for this quite sizable town are nowhere to be used within 3 hours. So, like, nobody...
They all had to be sent to Denver, which is far away.
Yes.
Like, that's been established. So, like, to go to visit Colin in Denver, it's like it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
Well, so, like, how would you change the screenplay to justify the three doctors having to kind of go in and be the main
because
source
they
of
have
medical...
to uncover, like, the collapse caused some kind of thing where it's not safe to move the patients until they have to clear out a section of the mine, but, like, Dr. Abbott was able to get in because he can ride a fucking roller coaster down there or something. You know, like, there's like a contraption that he can use, like a bucket. He can be lowered in a bucket, but the guys can't be taken out of the cave. You know what I mean?
It's theme park related, though.
Know what I'm saying?
There's a log flume.
Come on, that was
that he can ride.
I had an idea within 5 seconds, and it's actually.
But it has. But how does that? What does that have to do with the ambulances?
The ambulances could be there, but they can't get the.
Yeah,
you can't get the people to the ambulance. Is what I'm saying.
Right, but so I think that would. I think they needed an excuse not to also have access to, like, medical supplies that would be in the ambulance. Like, they needed Andy to have to do that surgery, like, with a drill.
Right, but, like, the fact.
fact is, like, even if you have ambulances, most people, I don't think, have the knowledge of what's in an ambulance to know whether they would be, like, the two or three ambulances that would show up.
If they're not going to have this, like, special...
Yeah, like a couple bags of sugar daddies. I think it's entirely plausible, because honestly, even with these doctors down there, I was like, what are their supplies? Like, they're not really... They're like, okay, yeah, there's, like, this little med station or whatever, and that's what the supplies they were using. But, like, presumably, if they knew they were going there, they would have, they could have brought some things. But I didn't know, and I didn't really care. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's still... It was weird. It was distractingly weird that there were no ambulances for 3 hours. And maybe that's coming from somebody who grew up in Jersey where everything's close together. Or who lives
behind a firehouse.
I understand that. But babe, like, come on. Have you ever lived anywhere where, like, an ambulance can't get to you within...
No.
I mean, that happens in the mountains, though, in Colorado. That's what
I'm saying. Like, how many... Okay. Well... Whatever.
I guess it's just like, you know, I understand, like, they needed to ratchet up the stakes and right. And that was a way to do it is like, and towns often have those kinds of like even formalized agreements about sharing resources, sure. Like ambulances and fire trucks, yeah. And plows and shit.
I think to me it was weird that it was specifically Denver.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like one, Denver would have a ton of resources cause it's a huge city. And also, well,
all of their ambulances were in Colorado Springs for a bigger fire.
A George W. Bush rally.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Colorado Springs. That's right.
Oh, my God.
I know my Colorado politics.
Well, at any rate,
okay.
There are no ambulances in this episode, nope. Which may or may not be distracting for you. Your mileage may vary.
YMMV.
We see that Ellie, the counselor's wife, the lady miner, is pierced by something. Will Cleveland, played by James Earl Jones, is in a situation. Daniel Sullivan is in a situation. it's all scary. So many situations.
Three of them.
Three situations from Everwood.
I like how, I mean, jumping ahead a little bit, I like how we learn that apparently... Some people died.
Yeah, later. Way
that
later.
Was not clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that
there were just some people that died. Just fucking died.
People died in the initial initial like, explosion.
Yeah. Whatever the situation was, it was like the way the episode to me was structured. It was like some people like they showed them when they showed up to the scene. There were like people being wheeled away on gurneys, and they're like. But there's three people down there.
Right.
They're in critical condition. Yeah. Let's go save them. It's like, oh, but there's like 70 other people.
Yeah.
We don't know how many other people know. Died.
We have no idea. Yep. I wondered that
as
well.
And they don't touch on that until the end.
Yep. Until the very end. Yep.
That's rough. Those poor people. We'll learn about them in the next three episodes.
Oh, sweet.
It's Three Miners from Everwood Part 2, uh-huh. Three Miners from Everwood Part 3. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We'll get them in batches.
Wow. I'm sure those coal miners are on the right side of history.
Oh, it's okay. Andy asks, does anyone know this guy about Will Cleveland? Which takes us to a flashback to, it's an indeterminate amount of time, but we see Ephraim knocking on Will Cleveland's door. Apparently he has scratched his car. There is a deleted scene on the DVD from this episode.
Him doing it
and then Ephraim talking to Madison, telling her about it, and her being like, oh, like that's like he just mentions like the kind of car it was, and she's like, oh, was it this car? Like it was a red whatever. He's like, yeah. She's like, oh, that's Will Cleveland's car. He's really mean. And you're something. That was all it was. And I could totally see why they deleted it. It would be weird to kind of try to include that.
I agree. But also, I will admit that I did have the thought while watching this of why does Ephraim know that this is the guy whose car he scratched?
Yeah, I was very confused. Like, right. I was like, is he his neighbor? Then how is he saying like, he's going to run away?
Or like, was it parked outside? Or like, you know.
Yeah. And that's
right.
So
yeah.
like, there was a little bit of a thing where I see why you mentioned that being a deleted scene. And yeah. it kind of makes sense why they wrote that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why? How did he get here in the first place?
Yes, I agree.
But also, it's fair. It was okay. Like, I'm like, something.
Yeah, something made happened. It
that he knew. Yep. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't need. Sure. I didn't need Madison in this episode. <Me either. laughs> I've had enough Madison.
So, Ephraim meets Will Cleveland. He wants to avoid getting his dad involved or the insurance. Will asks 16-year-olds. They know computers?
No, oh, that was great.
You know computers?
They know computers.
Hey, kid. I'm a computer. Stop all the downloading. Help, computer.
I'm glad that Adam knew yep. the voice I was doing.
Oh, I used to have a shirt that just had the words "Help, computer" on it. Help, computer. That's so good.
Everyone fans, you know what we're talking about.
Will also says, I've been reading about this thing called the internet, something called the eBay.
Yeah.
He wants Ephraim to help him find some old Art Tatum records.
Not CDs.
Records. And he says, if Ephraim can find those for him, he'll tear up the insurance information and they'll be fine. And apparently, of course, James Earl Jones's character is a pianist, a very talented pianist and lover of music.
And totally just the character from Sandlot. Has yes. a dog, is blind. Just kidding. I just wish he was blind. But he
one of two black men in Everwood.
Right.
Yeah, where's Jerome? Come on. He's got to weigh in on this episode.
I honestly, like, I told Jerome, I was like, oh, you should be here for the next episode because there's a black character.
You're in this, Jerome. You're in this episode.
he regretfully could not make it tonight.
Because he had better shit to do.
Indeed. Indeed. Then be our token black guest for...
Poor Jerome.
Jerome, you have to be here. No reason.
No, I was very upfront with him. I was like, look, James Earl Jones is in the next episode. He's black, you're black.
He's come black, on. If you didn't know.
He's tell you who he is.
Also, you're black, if you didn't
know. Oh, God.
He's going to like listening to this episode in the future.
He's not going to be able to listen to this. No. He's going to sit on this drive over here. See this external hard drive? He's going to come into my house and plug something into it to be able to listen to this episode.
He will.
Ephraim says, as Will plays piano, he's like, what are you doing in this town? You're too good to be cooped up in here playing for no one. And Will says, I don't play for no one. I play for me.
Yeah.
That's what shitty piano players.
I like it. No, it was good. Yeah. I liked that.
Whoever is his hand double.
Yeah.
Is a good piano player.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. Back in the present, I like this scene where Andy thinks he can stop the bleeding. Linda kind of doubts it and tries to kind of stop him. And Harold says with confidence, like, if he thinks he can do it, let him.
Yeah. I really like, but that so much. That
It's always great when Harold shows up and, like, affirms Andy's skills.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love
and
it.
And it happens more later, which we'll get to. But, it's really, really
spoilers.
Cool. Spoiler alert.
In case you're listening to this as you watch the episode.
Ephraim, of course, we get more flashback of him playing piano for Will. I guess Will kind of becomes a sort of maybe piano teacher or mentor to Ephraim.
Yeah, better than that shitty guy from Juilliard.
Yeah. I liked the Gregory Smith's impression of James Earl Jones at the piano.
And he's like, "Ooh, I'm an old man who doesn't get happy for anyone."
Yeah. And he like went deeper, and it was felt kind of Darth Vader.
It definitely did.
Yeah,
was very fun.
Yeah, was Gregory Smith excited to act with James Earl Jones?
Oh, of course he must have been.
Oh, right? He had to have been,
right?
Or he was like, "Who's that?"
Yeah,
come on.
Well, I mean, he had to at least have known him from Lion King.
Yeah, from Lion
or been Field the right of Dreams age
for that, right?
Treat Williams was excited because of Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Gregory Smith was excited because of Lion King.
I wish Treat Williams was in Field of Dreams instead of Kevin Costner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That would be so good.
Oh, Treat Williams. They need to remake that movie
and keep the same casting except put Treat Williams as an 80-year-old Kevin Costner. James Earl Jones looks the same. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he really does. It's kind of crazy.
We get some Beau Bridges. Mm-hmm. There's a fun moment where, was it Andy who said, "I'm all out of tricks"? Mm-hmm. And Eric, while watching, made the joke that Linda says, "Here, drink some oolong tea." And then so she good. Definitely ends up, yes, doing acupuncture on... Is it on... It's on... Daniel, right? Or is it on Ellie?
It's on Ellie.
Ellie, yeah.
On Ellie. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Daniel has a subdural hematoma. His blood is pooling in his brain.
I'm sorry. Like, this is gonna reveal a little bit of my bias, but she brings her acupuncture needles down into the coal mine.
I know. She's into this, like,
triage situation.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way. No. That's kind of making her into an absurd character. I mean, like,
imagine if
needles.
If she hadn't gotten the chance to use them, like, that would be so sad.
They'd have to have a little scene of her just, like, splaying them out on her hands, just looking down at them sadly, and then
no
putting them away.
No one wants my medicine. She's not even doing anything down there.
Oh, poor Linda. And this is another even better than the first moment with Harold and Andy, with Daniel. Harold, like, Andy is hesitant to do anything. And Harold gives him an angry kind of insistent pep talk, saying that he can do it. This is not Colin. Don't think. Just do it.
Do it, you fuck.
Which is really cool. It's cool seeing these doctors in a triage situation, in this high pressure. Like, we need to make difficult decisions very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they show up in these really effective ways. And it's cool seeing these characters who we love kind of be badass and like, effective under pressure. I love it.
I have to say that, like, I can be critical of Treat Williams' acting sometimes, but I think he did really well in this episode. Like, being a focused doctor. I mean, I don't know. That's going a little too far. But I think that he really did well with, like, the focus and, like, knowing his lines. Because sometimes I honestly, you know, now that we know that little fact with him, it's really funny. Like, sometimes I can even hear what sounds like editing. Like, maybe they had to edit in the right word, like, at the end of sentences, or, like, they're cutting off and you, like, they're, you know, there's a cut and you can just tell maybe that a couple sentences were merged together. And a nice convenient cut was made.
Sure,
I don't
sure.
know. But it's I thought he did a good job. Right? Don't you think?
He does. He does a good job in this episode.
Yeah.
Eric's nodding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-oh, no, he didn't?
Huh? Yeah.
You're not that satisfied.
Eric just doesn't care.
I was trying to think of a joke, and I couldn't. He said, "Oh, I love you, my son, Leprechaun," but then they had to cut it and then insert him saying Ephraim. That was as good as I got. There's a reason I didn't say it.
You just said it,
but you guys pointed it out that I was off in a different world, and that's the world I was in. Now you've joined me in this world where Treat Williams substituted the word Leprechaun for Ephraim.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about.
We learn that Daniel is Harold's neighbor.
We do.
Yeah.
It is interesting that Andy asks Harold, like, tell me something about him. I guess, does that gel with kind of the things that we've heard Andy say about, like, I know that, like, he's when he was talking about being a surgeon in New York, he said it was easier not knowing anything.
Right, that's patients. The thing. It did strike me as the opposite of what we and, like, knew about
I mean,
him.
I mean, this is maybe a new way of being a doctor, of, like, knowing people. And it may, and it did make the Colin thing.
I thought it
thing,
was for Dr. Abbott's benefit.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I mean, Andy was about to do this really hard operation. Huh. With, like, the drill and everything.
Right.
So I thought maybe it was for partly for Harold's benefit.
That's I like that read. That's interesting.
Because he did see, like, Harold's reaction, like,
right.
I know him.
Yeah.
He's my neighbor. Maybe Andy picked up on, like, oh, this guy, like, has some kind of relationship with Harold.
Yeah. I guess he maybe misinterpreted it, but that was what I was.
No, I like that read too.
It didn't occur to me at all. I thought it was, I was thinking along the lines of what Ab was talking about, where, like, he was, like, trying to do that so he could prepare, but it was like, that seems a little weird to me based on his overall history of being sort of.
But also, like, that's
patients.
Not, that's why I'm doubting mine, because, I mean, it is true. Like, he has said, like, that he, like, isn't that the whole point of him coming here?
Right. So, now he wants to know people.
Yeah, but it was just a fucking weird line, and nobody is supposed
to
know.
Well, it was like, we have to set up why we care about this guy.
Yeah,
just
of
like
course.
We have to care about everybody else.
So maybe it was just a little awkward, and there's
maybe,
no reason.
No, maybe it's, I think it could be both. I like it. I like that it
James
could
Earl
be both.
Jones is a piano
so,
master.
Do we?
And this guy is building a lighthouse for his wife. And the lady is trying to have a baby because she's a lady.
So yep, do you take issue with the fundamental kind of structure of the episode?
No, it was just to me it was transparent.
It's very obvious.
It was clear what they were doing, and then just like I pointed out with my joke right now. We don't actually really know anything about the lady, just that she wants to make a baby.
Just that she wants to be a baby.
Her
oven.
Story is focused on the husband.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Harwood, oh, what the fuck?
Did a man or a woman write this one? Rita Mamoon? Probably not. I don't think it was Rita.
It was a man, David Petrarca.
Yeah.
Oh, more like David.
God. Patriarca.
Oh my god, you guys!
I beat you to it, though. Although
my
patriarcha
of his
is
name
better.
Was better.
Shut the fuck
yes.
up.
Uh-huh. David Perestroika.
Mm.
David Liebenstrom.
Mm. David Lynch. We watched Promising Young Woman. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that later.
KT's not happy.
We'll talk about that later.
we'll talk about it. According to Harold, Daniel is the only man in town who happens to be crazier than Andy. And then we get into his backstory, which is that indeed he's building a lighthouse by his home.
In his backyard, apparently.
In his backyard.
I guess.
Harold,
like,
we
literally
Harold.
5 feet from his house, uh-huh. It looks like. Like, he's ruining his yard.
He definitely is.
He's gotta be ruining everything.
Because,
like,
because
somebody,
he's
I think I missed it. Like, he's building this for his wife, right? Is she dying?
No, we didn't even get that.
So,
it's just like,
okay.
Is this they're unwilling?
We never met her.
We saw her. She brought
out,
like,
instead,
lemonade.
So instead, lumber
the,
and cement and all this shit costs money. They could drive to a coast.
They could go on vacation.
To a beach and camp in a campground and not spend that much money.
And it's not like it's too late for them to move either.
Right.
Like, basically,
no,
what he's saying
he
is like,
loves coal mining.
I'm unwilling to move.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm unwilling to even take a vacation, apparently.
Because
like,
I love mining
it was
coal.
So weird. Yes, this episode is brought to you by coal.
It's okay.
It's okay. But like fucking really, like I, that honestly, man, and now talking about it is lowering my rating as we speak, but I'm telling you, like that was distractingly bad.
I mean, the story
did not justify shit to me. Like, I'm like, wait, so is she dying? Is she dying and this is her last chance to see a lighthouse? What's happening?
I think that like if they had done that, it would have felt very repetitive of the guy with cancer in the marijuana episode. But
they just really wanted to build a lighthouse.
They could have done something better than, especially if it's gonna move everybody in this town hall meeting.
Yes.
Like they're so moved by it. It's like a normal person would be like, go on vacation, like go visit a lighthouse. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Go for a month.
So that would ruin everyone else, like every other person's house nearby. There is no way Dr. Abbott would have ever agreed during that fucking scene where he was trying to convince the town and Dr. Abbott voted yes.
No, he would be like, no, wait a second, everybody. Let's talk about this.
That because that is exactly what I would do, and it is exactly what Will would do.
But
too. It is fucking absurd for him to agree after that bullshit story.
I do love the way he raises his hand. Yes. It's so it's so begrudging. Poor
Tom Amandus, like, yes, it just, he did the best he could, and that was very funny, but what the fuck? There is no way. And most, because, like, he's upset because it's right next to him. That house looked like it's in the whole neighborhood. Like, everyone has to see that. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and then they show at the final shot of the episode is everyone with the lighthouse
it's
operating.
It's enormous!
With a light.
And it's like, it is ridiculous.
It is absurd. A ridiculous story. Yes.
There is some fun Harold stuff in this in this backstory. Yes. Seeing him be the snoopy, suspicious, annoyed neighbor.
Oh my God. Can you imagine living next to him?
Oh my God, it would be terrible. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Oh God. We get some good physical comedy with him falling over a fence.
GIF.
We rewound
That's
it.
That's the gifable moment.
This is great.
Unfortunately, it's in the background, but zoom enhance.
Yes. He's got some good lines when talking to Rose. The man is creating some kind of public menace, and it's up to us to stop him for the good of our children.
Yep.
All our children.
Yeah.
Behind that beatific smile lurks nothing more than a lobotomy.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And he could be putting in a crystal meth lab for all we know.
Yeah.
I do love the description of Bo Bridges as a lobotomy behind a beatific smile. That's so accurate. Just in general, the way he looks.
Yes.
He looks so cheerful, and it's just like, what's going on behind there? Yes. Maybe nothing. It's so accurate.
So is there anything to Irv's argument in the town hall meeting when he says, this town has tolerated more things than a monument to absurdity, or maybe stranger things than a monument to absurdity? Or I forget the exact line. A lighthouse out here is poetic. What do we think?
They were trying to add more justifications for this ridiculous story.
They're like, okay, we need more.
Yeah, somebody else has
what
to
has
have a better
idea, too.
What has
this town been okay with? Nothing.
Yeah, that's also true.
The town
doesn't
like
okay
anything.
With nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. That's true. But I do like the lady, the one lady, I don't know her character's name, but she's been around. Uh-huh. And she was in like the surrogacy episode. She's the one who was like tried tipping Nina a lot at first, and then later she was like all like cagey. She's the one who says, "Well, I've heard towns with lighthouses a fewer accidents."
Yeah.
The way that lady looks, like that actress, it's just like she's built to play this role in all of these things. Yeah. Sorry, lady. Future guest on the episode, that lady on the podcast.
But yes, according to Harold, the lighthouse is the beginning of neighborhood anarchy. My wife always wanted to live on the shore. This monologue is so. It's not great.
She wanted to see a lighthouse in the distance, so I'll put one
right
outside her window.
That's what I was saying. Like, you know, he could have done done something cute and clever, like built a whole mini village in the backyard so it looks like she's looking out, even if he, you know, if he didn't want to take her on a fucking vacation.
But no, like, it's just this red and white wall when you look out the
lighthouse.
Window.
Normal, regular lighthouse in a small backyard. She's so angry. She's so angry about this. We don't meet her, do we?
Adam said she brings out lemonade to somebody.
She brings out lemonade. Oh, Harold shit. And your ex are there, and then she comes at the end and asks, is he okay?
Is she the dumbest? I don't even remember her. I do remember the. I remember the lemonade. What's the other one? Not the lemonade one.
When the doctors are all coming up and all the loved ones are there, asking about the miners.
Huh.
Scooter's there. I don't remember her either.
I mean, it's just those two.
I know she was
not
there.
Memorable. I remember the lemonade thing. I do remember that. It was nice. I remember being like, wow, that's very.
I don't remember lemonade.
TV
in this
lemonade situation.
Okay. Well, you guys are always like chatting with each other, making little jokes, missing things.
Sorry, we're not alone, Adam.
Come on, Jerome.
How many of our jokes did you miss, Adam? Taking notes.
The funny thing is, I always think that we're saying it loud enough. Like, I worry that I'm going to distract him, but apparently we're not saying it loud enough.
We got to scream it.
I think that
Adam... Here, try this oolong tea!
So then we get Andy using a drill on Daniel. I don't know if we actually see it, but it is implied.
A little bit.
I see. I remember cringing away.
Yeah, there was the
drill
sound.
There was like a skin flappy thing.
Someone handed him a yellow, probably a DeWalt cordless drill.
Harold says, yeah, good job. All it took was some predictably effective inflating of your ego. Back to the basics. Routine as usual. Business as usual. That's what I meant to say.
That's what routine means.
Shut the fuck up. There is a fun interaction between, I like the lines between Linda and Andy when they're still on the main, in the mine. And Linda's like, I didn't know you were such a cowboy. And Andy says, I don't always wear the hat.
That turned Adam on a lot when it happened. Just so everyone knows.
So flirty, turned me on. Tree Williams, the cowboy hackle.
Whoa.
That was me coming.
I didn't say that, but that also did happen. I didn't recognize the sound.
Sure. But they cannot rest on their laurels quite yet because Ellie's not breathing. She's been bleeding the whole time. They need blood.
You fucking idiot doctors.
They know her blood type. Harold volunteers Linda. Because he knows her blood type. She says, nope, you're wrong. Which I'm sure is just a throwaway moment with no, it doesn't come back at all. And then we get a flashback to her husband. Again, so her backstory is about Chris.
Scooter from Sex and the
City. Chris Beals. He catches Amy. This is how they get Amy to the episode. It's just a little interaction with
that
him.
That should
because
have been a deleted scene.
Yeah,
it was dumb.
She's cutting
cares?
Classes. It's probably like a contract thing. Like, Emily Van Camp has to be in, if not all episodes, like most of the episodes. Ugh. And then we get some Bright action. Bright missed his meeting. They're talking about his college admission essay that he's writing. He switched the prompt for like who he'd want to have dinner with, any figure living or dead. Switched from JFK to Neo from The Matrix.
Between those two, it's probably more impactful.
It is nice to learn that Bright has actually managed to get all of his grades up in all of his classes. Like it's nice. It's still kind of sad. It's like, oh, he's really trying. Like,
it's not going to do any good. But
he's probably still
trying.
Not going to succeed at anything. But oh well. Yeah, I don't like this guy's acting. Scooters?
No, he's not good in this.
It's really rough. He like him trying to
honestly,
be all like angry and yelling at Bright.
He was the same in Sex and the City.
Yeah,
though.
It was the same.
I think the actor is
really?
Not a great actor.
Well, that was the third big
we just need someone with super curly hair. He's like, I'm good. I could do it. I could do it. Look at my hair.
Looks and sounds like a total goober. He needs to chill out. Bright meets him at his car. Says, I've never been yelled at for anything real before. And they arrive at, you know, a good essay for him might be to write about how he would like to have dinner with his dead friend, Colin.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
He did buy Scooter a new cup, though.
Oh, yeah. It, calling back to what he had, like, water all over him.
Or something. I didn't really see how that happened.
Bright had said, somebody needs a sippy cup.
Yep. And he bought him one.
And he was so sad about it. When he got insulted, and I'm like, why the fuck do you care?
But the sippy cup line?
Yeah, like... He was way too affected.
Well, he was having a bad day already because nobody refilled the coffee. Nobody made a fresh pot of coffee.
And no one would hire him as a full-time guidance counselor.
Or actor.
Also, his wife's infertile and trapped in a mine.
I wish she was trapped in a mine. I'm telling you, it would have made more sense.
Like, we're supposed to care about this guy.
Yeah, I know. It's she was way more interesting. It's terrible. Well, also, she was not a good actor either.
Better than him.
Yeah. But they were both really bad.
Yeah, that was a bad scene.
Nothing personal against these two actors. You know, I'm sure you've had other parts where you did a good job. Are you sure? On sets of TV shows, like, you just don't have the time to get it right. And that's okay. I feel like they gave...
Adam's working on becoming their friend rather than looking up to the actors. He wants to be their colleagues. Remember when he said that? When was that? Today or yesterday? When did you say that? You don't follow actors on Twitter because you're their boss, not their follower.
I'm not their boss. I don't want to be a fan. I'm a future friend and colleague to these people.
Okay.
Also, I'm cutting this out. That was private.
Was this when you guys were watching Creep?
Oh, yeah. Was that yesterday?
It was last night.
I thought it was on the podcast last week. Adam, my perception of time is real bad.
So much weed.
You fuck. Well, last night, yes, I had so much weed last night. a lot of weed.
We see the doctors emerging from the mine, giving news to the loved ones. Millie asks about Daniel. Daniel's alive. Andy tells Chris that Ellie's uterus is damaged. He looks like he does not know what a uterus is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Harold and Linda get home. They are exhausted. They collapse. Harold gets a jab in at Linda's acupuncture. Good job bamboozling that poor woman out of feeling her pain. And Harold confronts Linda about lying about her blood type. And she explains that, you know, having traveled a lot and practiced medicine elsewhere, that she's worried about being a carrier of hepatitis.
Okay, but that's not so what it is. And she's dying of leukemia. Like 1,000,000%. Something like that.
No, that storyline's resolved.
No, because as soon as she showed up, you knew that it was something like that.
Where does she live? Why is she in his house?
An apartment? I don't know.
She doesn't live there. She would go home.
They went there... I mean, they just went through this terrible experience together. Like,
yeah, they had the conversation outside the mine.
No,
and then she goes home and takes a shower.
No, I like the little brother
dirty on his fancy $3,000 couch.
I like the brother sister moment.
I do too, but it wouldn't happen there.
Well, then why are you shitting on it?
Because it would have happened somewhere else.
No.
Yes, but they wanted Rose to be there to
be adorable. Ugh.
It's not real life. It's like a TV show.
Well, luckily, we'll never hear anything about the
blood.
About the blood again. Harold asks Rose about the snow day phone tree. We will learn later that he's getting everybody to help finish the lighthouse.
I knew what he was doing. You did too.
I thought that there was going to be a snow day.
Adam.
You didn't. I don't know.
And you've seen it before.
It's cute. It's cute that what he does. But, you know, it's still connected with this absurd storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should have had the snow day people demolish the lighthouse.
He's like, okay,
rip out the foundation. This is our chance, everybody.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I was joking during that, like, he's going to have a Walter White moment in the mine and let Daniel die in a calculated move to make sure that the lighthouse never happens.
And that was specifically referencing Jessica Jones, right? That I couldn't remember immediately.
I'm going to cut this out because we shouldn't be spoiling Breaking Bad on an Everwood podcast. I do feel bad. Parker, if you ever edit this.
You do not feel bad.
That show's been out for a really long time.
Yeah, almost as long as Everwood.
Yeah, if people haven't watched Breaking Bad by now, it's their own
but
damn
also
fault.
You can cut it out.
They're just catching up with Everwood now. Whoever's listening to this is only caught up to 2003/4 in TV.
Somebody decided, like, I do want to watch Breaking Bad, but first I'm going to watch Everwood so I can listen to Everwood Never Wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And then I'll finally watch Breaking Bad.
Will Ross and Rachel actually end up together? I'm not sure yet. I'll find out this year.
Ephraim's playing piano at home when Andy gets home. He asks about Will Cleveland. He has Will's dog, which is very sweet of Ephraim to have gone to get him. Andy admits that he was terrified in the mine. And Ephraim passes along the words of wisdom from Will. You don't play for an audience. Then we get some more Andy and Linda flirtation at the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
That has been season 2, episode 7.
But can I say, no. I was waiting for my opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the fuck.
Well,
maybe
coal
I missed
is
it.
Used
no,
shut as
up.
A fossil
shut
fuel.
Up or I'm going to forget what I was going to say.
Sorry.
When little girl, what the fuck is
Delia?
It? When Delia comes in, she's like, I want to paint the stripe on it. And Ephraim's like, it doesn't have a stripe. And then it zooms out and there's a fucking stripe.
Yeah, you're thinking of a candy cane.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck, Ephraim? Lighthouses have stripes all the time. And this one is a stripe right in front of your face, you fucking idiot. Okay, thank you. I had to say that.
No, I agree. I that was Ephraim's just being mean, and it's a weird line to include that, like, just Ephraim's wrong, patently wrong about that.
Right! When you
about
zoom
lighthouses
out
and this
show
lighthouse.
How stripey it is. Uh-huh. It's weird.
There were stripes on the model, like, multiple scenes before.
Stupid! 0 stars!
For Ephraim.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you going to the coal mine? Parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time. Welcome to TV Time, where I open my TV Time app and read all the comments that have been left on a particular episode of Everwood. There's only one comment on this episode.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
There were like 15 fucking comments.
Yeah,
on the
it was wild.
Episode.
It's so weird that, like,
who moderators must have had to rip down a bunch of comments about this one.
It says 3 comments and there's only 1 visible.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. One was very racist, probably.
Our old friend, TV Time user Mad.
Mad.
4 years ago, wrote.
I love this segment.
This was too random. I only enjoyed seeing Bright.
Oh God!
Mad.
This was too random.
What? This is the kind of episode that makes me like Everwood. Yeah. Like the show, because my whole entire thing that I like about the fucking show is the way that it's like a Norman Rockwell village that we get to learn about. I like the side characters. Yeah. I like that shit. Why are we watching this for Chris Pratt? It must be 2020 and you must be behind the times because he's a piece of shit.
Four years ago,
still a piece of shit. The end. Sorry. No prattling on. Fuck Chris Pratt. The end.
Well, this has been Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, TV Time.
And prattling on Inception.
No prattling on. But it is time for ratings. Who wants to go first?
All right. In anticipation of this episode, 5 stars. The title is very intriguing. The three miners of Everwood, or just three miners of Everwood?
Three miners from Everwood.
Three miners from Everwood. I couldn't wrap my brain around it.
I guessed this, didn't I?
Probably.
Didn't I say it was three? We were going to find the stories of three different people who work in a coal mine in Everwood. Didn't I fucking say that?
It was similar. It was something like that. You guessed that it would be. You guessed something more specific that it didn't end up being about, but you were like pretty much on the right track. Yes.
So like for me, 5 stars, because it seemed like a fairy tale-y kind of a title, which I was intrigued about.
Me too. 5 stars.
Hey.
No, are let's we doing do it this it at way. The same we're going to do it fast because it's 11:36.
Okay. During the episode, 4 stars. I enjoyed the. Despite the transparency of what they were doing with the structure of the way it was laid out and how they were tugging at my heartstrings, it was an entertaining structure. And post listening, what's it called? In retrospect.
The third one.
You didn't give a star rating.
I know. I didn't think you wanted me to talk. I thought you were very offended when I interrupted.
No, you do it.
Well, it's you.
Good. Okay.
I'm the king here, so I will allow it.
I agree with that rating. I have the same rating 4. Because the thing is, like, as much as it was an absurd fucking third storyline, and it was very sexist and stupid, and that actor sucked, it was entertaining. The format of the episode really did keep me entertained, and like in general, it was just like a cozy Everwood episode, even though it was fucking weird. Yeah. And Dr. Abbott had so many fucking awesome moments, and Treat Williams' acting during the episode was great, but it's not a Magilla episode, so it's got to be a 4.
In retrospect,
while watching?
No. 4. That was, saying 4. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah,
that's
we
why
both 4-4.
I was reasoning out my 4.
Yep. And then in retrospect for me, 5, because we got to poke at and have fun with little holes we found in it, but it was more entertaining as a result.
Yes,
so it bumped the 4 back up to a 5.
It's absolutely. Like, I think if we didn't have this discussion, I would have been like, yeah, just a 4 or 3 maybe, because like thinking about
but
it
we
so
got to
dumb,
like scream about lighthouses really and like complain about lady miners who just want to have babies
and it was fun, and Dr. Abbott is so fucking great, and every time we get to laugh about his stuff, it makes me laugh, and it was fun.
Wow.
Right. Yep.
That's a 5-4-5 from both KT and Eric. I will give it a 5 in anticipation, because I remember liking the guest stars, and I was excited to see James Earl Jones on the show.
Yeah.
I think a 4 while watching, because, there was some parts where I was like, what? And weirdly enough, I'm not feeling as forgiving of the episode. I think in retrospect, I'm going to say a 4.
Okay.
Because I think it is like the lighthouse stuff was really absurd.
It was so stupid.
Just a bit too absurd for me. And the fact that the three miners, the third miner was the lady miner, which is an offensive term that I keep on using without irony. that her storyline was just seeing the husband's bad day.
Right.
Which is like kind of
gross and weird.
Gross.
Yeah.
So, 5-4-4 for me.
Yeah.
Put it in the wiki.
But I have one more thing to ask. Like,
sure.
Regarding the lighthouse specifically, are there ever in the future, are you aware of any shots? Do they remember to put the lighthouse in all of the...
Yeah, is that a through line at all?
I have
You've
no
gotta
idea.
You've
got
to be able to see that in shots of Everwood now.
Yeah, like in that lat final shot in the theme song with Amy and Ephraim looking out over the town. Is there a little lighthouse now?
Yeah.
in that little Norman Rockwell like, painting.
They update it based on like in the Game of Thrones opening. Changes. I do not remember. Sadly, I would really not be surprised if they just forget about it. But it is such a big deal. Like it's like that should be like the right. like the eternal like the tire fire in on the Simpsons.
It should just show up in like the that. Super background images of various shots. Just this little red and white lighthouse peeking up.
That's so weird. That was a weird thing for them to commit to.
Mm-hmm.
Everwood Lighthouse. What do we got with Treat Tweets?
So I realized as we started, I think it was when we started watching the episode, I'm like, fuck, it's been a week since we did this, and I can barely remember anything.
Oh, you liked a few of his stuff, though.
Well, of course. I always like what he
tweets. Yeah, Eric likes every single everything thing he tweets. Says.
I remember a lot of pictures of him saying now, and then it's just a picture of like a field with a lot of stumps in it. I feel like he posted something about taking a walk and learning his lines, but that might have been before last week's episode. Oh,
no. I did see he did post, he retweeted a photo of a young woman who like a victim of the Holocaust.
Oh, I did see
and
that.
He retweeted that and saying like this is never heartbreaking again or never something. Again. Yeah,
that was
so we sad. Exclusive news here, folks. We can confirm that Treat Williams is not a Holocaust denier.
Right.
Oh yeah.
That's, phew.
Yeah.
Unless never again meant never again. Like I've said never so like, many times, and now I'm saying it again.
Never again.
It never happened.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Never happened. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
This has been Treat Tweets.
So fucking terrible.
This has been Treat Tweets.
He also said, I so love lilacs. Tweet, 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 tweet. That's my favorite flower. It's my favorite flower. Tweet, 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 tweet. Look at that. It's a beautiful picture.
That's great.
I so love lilacs.
We are recording this on Tuesday, May 18th, which is primary day. I voted, and I would like to say congratulations to Ed Gainey for winning the mayoral contest of Pittsburgh. That is awesome.
Yeah. Sweet.
Good job, Ed Gainey. We are very excited to have you as our mayor.
Thanks, Ed.
Let's do predictions.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Next week's episode is called The Burden of Truth. The Burden of Truth.
Is the doctor going to come out with what disease she has, and is it leukemia? Dr. Abbott, the girl, Dr. Abbott.
You think that the burden of truth is in reference to the burden of her truth about having leukemia?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Ephraim goes to see the Rolling Stones, and they start with their song, bip, 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 a beast of burden. And then he has to tell the truth of where he was that night.
Wow.
To his dad and his sister and to Madison. Mm.
Sure. Good predictions.
Thank you.
We will find out who was right and who was wrong next time on Ever Would, Never Wouldn't.
Do
That's it. You're muted. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh my gosh, that was a long...